You're listening to a podcast of This Positive Life, TheBody.com's growing collection of first-person stories from people living with HIV.
This is Erica Nelson reporting for The Body. I'm here talking to Sarah of Pennsylvania. She's 23 years old, and she's been living with HIV her whole life. Sarah, can you tell our readers how you got HIV?
Well, when I was born, my mother had a pretty bad C-section, and she had to get a blood transfusion, and the blood transfusion was tainted, so she unknowingly was infected and gave it to me through breast milk.
So she was nursing you, and she passed it on to you without knowing that she was positive.
That is correct. She also unknowingly gave it to my father. They didn't know that until a few years later that she was infected.
And how did they eventually find out that they were positive, and how did you find out you were positive?
My father was trying to donate blood at a church, blood fundraising event, and he got a paper back saying that he was unable to give blood. Probably, this was, I'm thinking, 1986. And then, so he got tested and couldn't figure out why, you know, what would be wrong, because both my parents hadn't been very promiscuous at all when they were younger, or did drugs or anything that was risk-related then for HIV. So then he figured out then that he was HIV positive. Then my mother got tested also, and I think they received a letter in the mail saying that they might have been infected from the hospital, because although it was 1984 and they should have been testing the blood, I don't think they were testing every single person quite yet.
So this was a couple years after your mom was infected through this blood transfusion. So there was a couple years that your family didn't even know, had no idea that they had HIV.
Right, yeah.
And the hospital sent them a letter. Was it like years afterwards?
Since my dad was tested, tested when he was giving blood 2 years later, I'm thinking it was probably 2 or 3, maybe even 4 years when they got the letter saying they might have, you know, had an oopsie.
Wow, that's crazy. Why do you think there was such a long delay?
I actually can't talk about the place too much, but okay. I can say I don't know that they were on top of things. We'll put it that way.
All right, fair enough. When your parents tested positive, they decided to have you tested as well.
They actually waited a while. Yeah, they waited a while. And then I, when I was probably like 8 or 9, I had some major problems with my tonsils, which wasn't abnormal, but some of it, I guess, was fairly abnormal. So my mom decided to have me tested then.
Do you know why your parents waited so long to have you tested between the time when they tested positive?
I think my mother wanted to have me tested earlier because she kind of always felt like there was something maybe possibly wrong with me also. But I think my dad kind of wanted to put it off as long as possible. And I wasn't ever terribly sick, so they just kind of waited until then.
Do you know why your father wanted to put it off? Did he just kind of want to believe you were well, maybe? Or do you have any idea?
He's very open about it. What he's not so open about is how he felt then. It was a very scary kind of epidemic thing, and he wanted, like in the 80s, even now people aren't that great about it, but in the 80s it was a lot worse, and it was like, you know, you can't go in the swimming pool, and you know, the people had to move and different stuff like that. So I think it was more of a protective denial, you know, didn't kind of want to deal with it type of thing.
So you got tested when you were, what, like 9 or 10?
Yeah.
And how did that work? I mean, you know, you went in and you got tested, and I mean, did you understand what was going on?
Actually, I thought I was going into the doctor for a checkup, and I had to get blood work done. I didn't really know anything about what was going on until a couple of months later. My dad didn't want to tell me then either, because of, you know, wanting me to have a normal life and different things like that. But my mom, I actually was homeschooled for a portion of that year because when they found out I was HIV positive, the private school that I went to didn't have any policies or anything. So my parents wanted to talk to them and get a policy made before I went back. So my mom wasn't supposed to tell me. My dad didn't want to tell anybody, so my mom wasn't supposed to tell me, but the one day during when we were doing our schooling, she kind of broke down and decided to tell me.
So what was while you were being homeschooled?
And yeah.
I mean, how did you react? Did you understand what she was talking about? I mean, you were really young.
Yeah, I was, you know, like I said, 9 or 10, and I knew there was something wrong with my mom because she had problems. She had shingles. She was really sick, like, a couple of the years, like, when I was, like, 6 and up to 8. She was always pretty sick. So I had an idea that there was something wrong with her, but I had no clue that there could be something wrong with me. So I kind of freaked out, and, you know, I was scared that, you know, I might die or something, and I didn't really know a whole lot about the disease or anything.
But you'd heard of HIV?
Not really. I think I heard about something, like, maybe here and there on TV, something about it, but didn't really hear a whole lot about it.
Wow, so she scared you pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's intense. And did she tell you at that time that your dad also had it?
You know, I can't recall. I think she just kind of said, you know, me, you, and your dad thought, you know, we're okay, but, you know, we have this disease, and, you know, it was kind of, I don't know, traumatizing.
What happened after that?
You know, honestly, to be honest, I don't think I really processed a whole lot of things majority of my life from then on because a lot of traumatic things happened after that. So it was kind of, just to get through, it was kind of like, you just, okay, well, this is happening. Okay, well, I'm just going to get through this. And now I'm kind of paying for that emotionally, you know, because it's like, oh, wow, I really suppressed a lot of feelings and things like that.
You're just now starting to kind of process this as an adult.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. So stuff's coming out now that I remember, and I'm like, oh, wow, that was traumatic, you know, and I didn't really even react to that. Now it's kind of starting to come out now for me.
Wow. Do you have, like, a support structure to deal with these things and thoughts as they come up now that you're older?
Not really. I think I'm starting to, like, my family has supported me as much as possible, and I have some friends also that have helped support me. And obviously, my husband is my big support, like, team for me. Other than that, not really.
Okay. Well, backing up just a little bit, when your mother told you, how did you tell other people? I mean, did you tell other people?
I actually wasn't allowed to tell other people at first. My dad, for whatever reason, didn't want us to tell anybody for a while. But then after maybe a year or a couple months, I was able to tell my one friend. And she had foster sisters and brothers and stuff like that. So she knew what it was and was a little like, crap, you're my best friend, there's something wrong with you. But she never was weird about it or, you know, hesitated. She didn't ever hesitate to be near me or with me or anything.
That's great. And she was just a little kid, right?
Yeah, she was my age. She was just a little.
Wow. Did her family know?
Well, after the time when we weren't really allowed to tell people, my dad decided that he would go around and pretty much tell everybody through speaking and things. That was his way of coping and trying to help other people. So basically, after a while, everybody knew because my dad pretty much told everybody there through, like, chapels or whatever because it was a Christian school. So I did get to tell more people as I got older, but in elementary, middle school, junior high, at times I didn't really have to tell anybody that much. They already knew.
Okay. And what caused this big shift with your dad from wanting to really keep it under wraps to talking to everybody about it, it sounds like?
I think after a while he sort of wanted to use it as, like, sort of a ministry for him, a way to, like, help other people. or to make people aware, because we're realizing when we were telling family and different people, that people didn't really know that much about it. So maybe it's more like a awareness type of thing.
But it sounds like it took him a few years to get to that point. When did he start talking about it more openly?
I think in the early 90s also he started talking about it more. And I think he was, you know, in the 80s and stuff, he was afraid that, he would have to move and leave and different things.
So he was, like, afraid of discrimination, you think?
Yeah, and also back in the 80s, it was more of a disease that was in the homosexual community. Mm-hmm. And my parents were pretty conservative religious people. So for them to have the disease was like, you know, even like 10 times worse or something. So I think that had something to do with it too.
Okay. Why do you think they thought it was worse? I mean, how did they feel about HIV?
Not sounding bad, but it was more with homosexuals. So, you know, they were afraid that people would think that they, you know, did something quote unquote bad when they were younger, or that maybe my dad was a homosexual when he was actually straight and married. And, in their religion, that would be something that would be enough to reject them and have them move. And
how did their church ultimately react when they came out with this?
I remember my dad speaking at the one church where we were at that time. Some people, you know, were like kind of standoffish and not sure about it. And some people were encouraging. You know, I didn't really react that much and kind of irritated me, because it was like everyone feeling sorry for you when you just wanted them to treat you like a normal person and, you know, just be your friend type of thing. But they didn't kick him out or anything like that, or they had to leave. Now, I'm sure he has a different perspective of everything. But, you know, from my perspective, it was fairly good, but it wasn't open arms either.
How do you feel about the church now? I mean, are you still a religious person yourself? Do you feel like you get support there?
We go to a different church now. And I go occasionally. I feel like I should go more, but I went to a Christian high school and got slammed pretty bad there for it. So I've been a little more hesitant to try and get back into any type of organized religion. Mm-hmm. I still have my you know, faith and values and such, but I'm a little hesitant to go there because I've not really received much support from, I've not really received much support from churches, but then on the other hand, it's not that they've rejected me like I was in Christian school.
Can you tell me what happened with the schools that you were in? You know, you've mentioned this about high school, but, you know, also earlier you were talking about how you were homeschooled a little bit while your parents were trying to work out a policy with your school. How did that happen with your schools as you were growing up? How did they react to your HIV, and did they know about it? And
well, at first it wasn't like a huge deal for me, but as the years went on, like in middle school, I know a lot of people, you know, they were pretty ignorant. They didn't know a lot about it. So, you know, they made fun of me saying that since everybody thought it was just among homosexuals for some reason, that I had to be a lesbian because, you know, I had HIV, which didn't even make sense.
Yeah,
and I didn't
crazy.
And, you know, or the one principal was very adamant about talking how homosexuality was wrong. And I think maybe I don't know why that was his focus at all, but he would talk about that and HIV a lot and in a negative way. So that affected me, or, you know, preachers coming in and comparing AIDS to leprosy, you know, just completely uneducated and making me feel pretty unaccepted. The one principal, like my friend and I, the same friend that I had when I was little, like we shared a lollipop or something, which he freaked out then and made her feel horrible, you know, even though she couldn't get it from that just stupid stuff like that all through high school, and then not skipping ahead, but you know, dating in the high school was like horrific, pretty much.
Was it possible? I mean, were you able to, you know, talk with guys you were dating about what was going on with you?
Like I said, my dad had told a lot of people or spoke before, so people pretty much knew already. And the guys that I dated, I could talk to them about it. And nobody was, in high school anyway, no one was really like, oh, I don't want to date you because of it. It was all their parents, basically. They were very uncomfortable with their kids dating me at all because of that. Even though, you know, for religious reasons and other reasons, you know, I didn't do much with the kids at all. So there was no way for them to get it, but they were just very uncomfortable and very ignorant and mean about it.
Was this true, like, through your whole school experience? I mean, were there any bright spots with dating or?
I would say, as much as it hurt and everything, one of the good parts was the people that were my age, even though eventually, because of their parents, you know, we broke up or stopped talking or whatever, it wasn't like they ran away. The guys themselves, they didn't actually run away from me right from the start and never date me. You know, they tried to, but then one way or another with their parents or this and that, you know, it didn't work out.
Do you think that this had anything to do with the particular kinds of schools you went to? Do you think it would have been different in non-religious schools?
I would hope to think that in a non-religious school there'd be a little more acceptance probably because there tends to be a little more secular education. Not necessarily that it's, you know, better or worse or whatever, but I would tend to think that, you know, there would be a little more acceptance. Although I'm sure there would be some people that would be ignorant also because you always have people that, you know, don't know about things.
Right. Was there good sex ed in your high school?
we didn't have sex ed in high school. It was strictly abstinence, and it wasn't really talked about at all, which I think, I don't know, I think that's more of a political thing now than it needs to be. But anyways.
Do you think that lack of sex ed might have had an impact on your fellow students and their parents?
I don't know. I think I'm not going, I choose not in this interview to lean towards abstinence or condom use. I don't really want to go into that.
Okay.
But I think they should have had some sort, I don't know if it's necessarily sex ed, but they should have had some sort of education on different things at least, because just to help people actually know about things and, you know, or at least have the parents come in too and talk to people about different stuff so they're not completely uneducated.
You had mentioned that that your father, you know, gave some testimony. Did he ever come and talk to your school and about HIV, and did that make anything better?
You know, yeah, he did. I mean, he came and would say, you know, you can't get it through this or you can't get it through that. And so, yeah, actually, no, now that you mentioned that, he did help educate. But then again, that was only the kids. The parents weren't there for that,
right?
You know, so.
What effect do you think all of this has had on you? I mean, did it get any better when you got into college? Do you feel more supported now? What do you think this sort of, you know, childhood of having all of this, you know, contention, what do you think it did to you? Do you think it changed your personality or anything?
I think it's affected me in a major way emotionally. It's good and bad. Like, you know, I'm a very strong person now because of it, and, you know, more educated and more life experience than a lot of 23-year-olds. On the other side, you know, it has affected me pretty harshly in some areas. So, I don't know, good and bad.
You said that your mom was ill, you know, had been ill on and off throughout your childhood. What was that like? I mean, how did that affect you and your father?
When I was younger, I was like a homebody pretty much, because I was worried a lot of the time because I didn't really know what was wrong with her. So I was worried a lot of the time, you know, that she was going to die or different stuff like that. And she was always pretty strong about it. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, she always seemed to bounce back type of thing. But there were a few times that we were pretty, pretty worried about her.
And how did your father react to all this? I mean, was this before you knew about her having HIV? I mean, how did he support you and everything?
When we were younger, they fought a lot because, well, I think they fought a lot because they didn't know what to do about things. And also, she wanted to, you know, tell certain people, and he didn't think they should, and that whole thing. And he was also gone a lot on business trips and stuff like that. So he's fairly supportive, but in a more distant kind of way.
Did it get better as you got older?
I would say it's better now. In high school, he sort of tried to be more supportive, but wasn't, because I think it upset him so much that he just kind of, and felt like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot he could do. So I don't know. I would say it's a lot better now than it was before.
And, excuse me, your mother, she's been kind of up and down. How is she doing now? What has she had? Does she have opportunistic infections or?
She had shingles when we were younger, and after, when was that, around 1995, my brother actually died in 1995, not from anything HIV related, but after that, we thought we were going to lose her next, because she was pretty skinny. I'm not sure all the illness that she was having, but we thought she was going to die then too. Of course, I wasn't very open about anything then. I actually didn't talk for a while, but she bounced back through. I couldn't even tell you all the medications or all the guinea pig things that she's tried over the last 23 years, but she's pretty much tried all the stuff you can try. But now she's doing well. She was off medication for a little bit, and now the regimen that she has seems to be working very well for her, and her numbers are good, and so everything now seems to be going pretty well for her.
That's great. Do you know if she had medication resistance? Was that part of the problem?
Yeah, she has had some resistance to, like, the beginning, the, like, virus and different things like that that weren't working for her anymore.
You said that you didn't talk for a while. Do you mean you just weren't talking about HIV, or?
No, I mean, I didn't talk.
Can you, like, tell me more about that?
Well, my brother died when I was 11, and it was, like, kind of a freak kind of thing. He got meningitis, pneumococcal meningitis, and it took, like, 30 hours, and he was dead. So having just found out about, you know, the rest of my family when I was 9 or 10, and then this happening, I think I just kind of shut down, and I was angry, and I just, you know, didn't feel the need to talk anymore. So I just didn't talk for a couple months.
Wow. How did your family process your brother's death? I mean, you started talking again, so did they draw you out? What did you guys do?
My sister decided that my parents should get me a puppy for my birthday when I was turning 12, and as kind of like a therapy kind of thing, because I wasn't talking much. So that kind of helped draw me out more and stuff like that. And then, you know, my mom always tried to talk to me and different things. And I didn't go back to my regular school, so I think that affected it some too. And it wasn't planned out that way. It just kind of happened. So then, you know, after that year, I went back to the school where my Christian school where I had more friends and stuff. And so I think that helped too. And then, you know, I eventually started talking and getting through things better.
Okay. How old is your sister? Your sister's older or younger?
Yeah, my sister is 6 years older than I, so she's 29.
Okay. Do you have any other siblings?
No, I just had my brother and my older sister.
And your brother who passed away?
Yeah.
And so your sister, your older sister, she's HIV negative?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you know how that's been for her, being the only person in the family who's...
I know some people have told her to just, you know, move on with your life, have your own family, and don't worry about, you know, your other family because you're not going to have them, which hasn't been true. I think... you know, she actually found out about everything before I did because she was older and she had seen stuff on TV that kind of matched up with what my mom was doing, like getting her blood taken and different things like that. So she kind of figured it out on her own. And, you know, it was obviously a major thing for her because it's like half of her family. And I can't say all the ways that it's affected her, right. But she's tended to be more quiet about it too, but she's, you know, she'll tell you, you know, she'll talk to you about it if you ask her about it.
How has your father, you mentioned earlier that he hasn't taken medications.
Right.
How has he managed so long without medications? Because he's been positive, presumably, for, you know, over 20 years.
Right.
So it's kind of a miracle.
Yeah. I think, you know, through his faith and different things like that, and probably some type of real unique genes, he has managed to stay alive all these years without it. You know, he hasn't done any clinical trials or anything, he probably should, but to figure out, you know, if he has like a specific gene that has been helping him or, you know, anything like that.
Do you know if his viral load is undetectable?
I don't believe it is anymore. I don't think it's very high. I think it might be in like the thousands or something, but, it's not very high.
Okay. Do you know about his CD4 count, if it's high or low?
I think it's been between 300 and 500 for pretty much the whole time. Obviously, I think it's been higher, you know, in the first couple of years and then gotten a little lower, but it hasn't really gone below 300 or 200. It's stayed right in there, 300, 400, 500.
And does your family all go to the same doctor, or do they all go to different...
We go to several doctors, but now, yeah, we all go to the same specialist.
And the specialist hasn't recommended that he start medications or anything?
It seems like, also with me too, that our bodies have gotten to a certain point where we kind of stabilized. And he thinks the specialist doesn't really... understand why or know why, but we seem to be able to stabilize the disease in our body, and it hasn't gone any further than that. So he hasn't really seen a need so far.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How has your extended family dealt with your family's HIV status?
My mom's mom was pretty good about it. And she was pretty accepting. I mean, it was scary and different things, but she was pretty accepting. And my dad's side, my cousin on my dad's side has been one of my best friends through everything, and they've been pretty supportive. far as the rest of my mom's side, she has a couple brothers and sisters. No one's been really not supportive, but they've, you know, a little standoffish for whatever reason.
Do you think that that they are comfortable with HIV or uncomfortable?
Which one?
your extended family, your.
Yeah, I think most are okay. They're all okay with the whole situation.
Okay. How would you say that your feelings about HIV have changed over time?
I think I'm a little more accepting of it now, as accepting as you can be. But I think I'm starting to deal with it more now and try and deal with it in positive ways and not just be angry about it.
How do you do that? What do you use for support?
Well, like family and friends, and then, you know, doing interviews and stuff like this, or, you know, thinking about, you know, writing a book or something, you know, different things like that. And eventually I would like to be more involved, like, with children and different stuff, because I know I would have loved to have been able to see someone who went through it as a child and then, you know, could still do pretty much normal things as they got older, you know, so something like that, probably.
You know, you talked about, you know, working with other youth and talking to HIV-positive children. What would you say to somebody who has just found out that they're positive? Let's say another young person, maybe.
Right. I would say not to lose hope, you know. People, you know, and pretty much no matter what people say, you know, you're going to find people that are going to put you down and stuff. But I think if you, you know, keep a positive attitude, and, you know, and it's not so fatal anymore that it's like you're going to die in a couple of years. It's more manageable now, and it's just more like a chronic thing. So, you know, it's not the end of your life, and you shouldn't stop anything that you want to do or anything like that.
Okay. How long do you think it takes to process a diagnosis?
I don't know that I can put a number on how long it takes to process it. It really depends how you know, what time in life you get it and how old you are. And for me personally, I don't know. I can't say that I've fully processed it. I mean, because it's affected me in different ways, in all the different stages of my life. You know, if I want to have kids or something, it's going to affect me. And so, I don't know. I think you process it in different ways throughout the whole, you know, the whole trial.
So you think it's an ongoing process?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, backing up just a little bit, can you tell me about the town that the town that you're in now? Is that the same town you grew up in?
Pretty much. It's a neighbor to the town. It's a neighbor to the town where I grew up in. Mm. Right next to each other.
Okay. What is that area like? I mean, you've talked a little bit about your church and your school. What is the community like in that area? Are people pretty educated about HIV? I mean, what was it like growing up in that area and being positive?
It's fairly country, and most people were not educated at all. And, you know, it's kind of dutchy and, like, you know, just everyday life kind of. It's nice in one instance, and then when it comes to things that are people who are different or have different experiences, people are a little bit reserved about that. Not so much anymore. I do think people are more educated now, but growing up, I don't think they were as educated.
But you think it's improved, like, the longer we get into the epidemic?
Yeah.
You said that you work with your father now. What is that like? What does his company do?
They do a lot of things. They do marketing and consulting and like production type stuff, like surveys and research and all sorts of stuff.
Can you tell me about your husband?
Yes. He is wonderful. When I started dating him probably 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And I dated someone before him for like 2 weeks or something, or 3 weeks or something like that. And I told him about my HIV status, and he basically ran away from me. So I was a little bit cynical and wasn't really looking for anything. And that seems to be when you meet that someone. But anyways, I met him at where I teach swim lessons. And we were dating for a couple weeks, just going on dates here and there. And he wanted me to be his girlfriend. And I said, oh, I don't think I'm ready yet to do, like, you know, with a girlfriend thing. And there's stuff you don't know about me that I don't really want to talk about right now. So he was like, what? Okay. So then I decided, you know, my thing is, well, I like to tell people before I get too involved with them. And people have different preferences, but I like to tell people. That way, you know, I can actually find out a lot about them when they do that, and I can also, you know, kind of give them a choice type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was really nervous about telling him because I was like, I just cannot handle any more rejection right now. I'm like, I'm just going to, like, fall over here. So I was like, no, I really need to tell him, though. I think it's the right thing to do. So I sat down and, you know, I was talking to him, and I almost, like, started crying, and he's like, you know, what's wrong? And then I told him, you know, I had this, you know, HIV since I was born and yada yada. And he goes, that's it? And I'm like, what do you mean that's it? This is like a big deal. And he's like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me that you have kids or you're dying or something. And I'm like, no. So anyways, he was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to process this. But, you know, he was very educated, and he knew, you know, how he could get it and all that different stuff. And but then he was pretty much fine with it. So, and then after that, though, you know, we were older, so he's 2 years older than I am. So I was kind of worried about the parent thing just from past experience. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, but, you know, we're older, so we'll be okay. So he didn't tell his parents for a while. He's like, I don't think they need to. It doesn't matter. They're not going to have to deal with it, and I'll tell them, you know, in a little bit or something. So I just kind of left it to his discretion. And when we got pretty serious then, and he decided he would tell his parents, and, you know, they were, like, sad, but then, you know, they weren't like, oh, well, don't date her. They really liked me, and they were like, oh, we're really sad for her, blah, 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 but we really like her, and, you know, that doesn't affect anything. And so it was really great, and it was really awesome for me. It was a great thing, and I love him to death, and he's just really awesome about it. And, you know, I worry about things, but I think, you know, everything will be, you know, we protect ourselves, and it's been good. Everything's been really great with us.
That's awesome. You guys want to have kids?
He does, and I do sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I'm like, I can just wear my sister's kids. But, well, I'm thinking eventually, probably 5-10 years, we'll probably think about it more. Then right now, you know, we just got married, so this summer, so it's not a priority or anything. But, you know, we think about it, and he's like, you know, if it's going to be a big deal, we could probably try and adopt, or, you know, we don't have to have any. So it's, you know, up in the air.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You had mentioned earlier that your health has been kind of like your father's, like it kind of stabilized. What has your health been like generally? I mean, you said you were, you know, sick when you were really little. How have you been since then?
I have been on medication before, actually, when I was early teenage years. And then when I was, I think, 19 or 20, I decided I didn't want to take them anymore. And I didn't go to specials for a while, like a year, I think. And then I went back, and I went to a different specialist. We went to a specialist in Baltimore and all these places. And then we finally found one near closer to where we live. And the first guy I went to, my numbers, I think, were like, they still were fairly good. They were like 300 and like almost non-detectable viral load, and I had been off meds for like a year or two. So he wanted to put me on all these medications and, like, kill me with medications. That's what I thought it was like anyway. And I didn't want to do that. So I went to the same doctor my parents go to now. And he was like, you just come every couple months and we'll monitor you. I don't think that there's a need, especially if your body's kind of stabilizing it. It's been pretty good. My T cells have gotten a little bit lower, but it seems like they're staying at one spot, and that my viral load is staying at one spot, which isn't very high either. So he's pretty good about medications and whether I should be on them or not.
Why are you wanting to stay off of medication, if at all possible?
Some of the side effects are pretty crappy. They are better now than they used to be, like a whole lot better than they used to be. But, you know, it helps, but then I think it also puts toxins in your body, and I think it's just better to stay off them as long as your doctor, you know, feels is allowable, and then if you absolutely have to, then go on them. And also with resistance too, I just think it's better to, you know, not wait until you're dying or anything, but like wait until you really need to go on them so you have more chance of having less resistance to medications.
Hmm. What medications were you on when you were younger? Do you remember?
Let me think. I was on Calitra, Viracept, Viramune, and I think that was it. I think I was on a regimen like when I was 12 that was a huge, it was like 30 pills or something, but I do not remember the names of all of those.
But you haven't really been sick, it doesn't sound like.
No, not really. Like, I haven't had a little bit of shingles, but nothing like my mom. They went away really quick, and, you know, I had, like, tonsillitis, but most of the stuff was fairly normal. I never really was really sick or anything.
That's great. Do you personally have a health regimen that helps you stay well? I mean, do you work out? Do you eat anything special?
Yeah, I work out. I try and, you know, at least, you know, 30 minutes a day of exercise, walking, my dogs are running or going to the gym. I try to regularly take vitamins and try and eat healthier.
How do you stay on top of the latest information about HIV? You know, do you get magazines? Do you go on the internet? Do you have a support group? I mean, how do you stay connected to the HIV world?
I get the links to the POD site. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I was, you know, just researching different sites, and that's how I came across the body. And that's pretty much how I stay in contact with, you know, HIV community and stuff.
How do you personally choose when to disclose to somebody? You talked a little bit about how, you know, when you're dating, you know, how you tell them, but how long do you usually wait? You know, how can you tell if it's somebody you want to talk to about HIV?
It's funny. It'd be lovely if there was like a set parameter for that. Most of my friends know. There are some that I'm not sure if they know or not. But in high school, I actually did get to tell one person in high school, one of my best friends in high school. She would come over to my house, and I was like, I should probably tell her, because my dad actually wrote a book and, you know, had stuff there with it, so I didn't want it to be like a surprise. So after I was friends with her for a couple of months, I think I, like, you know, had a little discussion with her and told her everything, and she was just kind of like, oh, yeah, my one friend such and such has that. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm like, oh, okay. And it's funny. It's like either one way or the other. It's like, oh, my gosh, run. Or it's like, oh, yeah, okay, no big deal. I'm like, what? Anyways, so
It sounds like you, I mean, all the stories you've shared about disclosing have been, I mean, a lot of them have been pretty positive. I mean,
yes.
What's, I mean, you know, your husband's reaction was like amazing and wonderful. But have you ever had a, you know, a bad experience?
Yeah. This one guy, we went on like a couple dates and I decided I should tell him, and he was like, okay, that's good, or that's fine. And, you know, I explained it to him, and then I left. And then the next time we went out on a date, he was like, or no, he actually called me, and he was like, I need to talk to you. And he was just like, I can't do this. And I'm like, okay, why? He's like, I just can't do this. And then he left, and that was it. So...
How did you react? Did you get to respond to him at all, or?
What do you think about that? How did I react? Oh, I was kind of mad, and I said, "Well, you know, you're lost. See you later." And that was about it. So.
Did you? I mean, is that really how you felt? You were like, you know, whatever. There are more fish in the sea.
Not at first, no. Like, I was pretty upset at first because it was just like, there's like another person, you know. Not gonna wanna, you know, even be my friend, or he did wanna be my friend then, but I was like, well, my friends accept me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, so at first I didn't react very well, and, I was pretty upset. And, I think actually my dad then decided that he would help me out with this whole dating thing. It's kind of funny, actually. So he went on, one of the positive dating sites. I forget which one it was. And decided that he would make a profile for me and then tell me about it so I would find somebody, okay?
Oh, my.
So I was like, great, Dad. And the stuff he put in my profile, I was like, I don't think I put all that, but anyway. So I did actually meet one person through there who was HIV positive. And he was more of a new, he was newly infected. We sort of talked for a while, but I think we were at completely different stages because, you know, I had him my whole life, and he just started this whole, like, what do I do? And
right.
And he was kind of in denial, and so we were friends and stuff, but then we kind of just lost contact through whatever. And he, you know, I would pressure him to go to the doctor and get checked out, and he just would push it off, and I'm like, you can't do that. And so we kind of lost contact after that, but it was nice to meet someone who... my age that, you know, had it also.
Right. It sounds like your husband has been really, really supportive. How does he support you and how does he deal with your HIV status?
Well, you know, if he can, he'll go to the doctor with me and, you know, just supports me through, you know, because I'm kind of just starting to really deal with things now. And he's just very supportive and tries to, you know, help me and talk to me and help me through things as much as possible.
Do you ever think that it would be easier to have a partner who is positive, or do you think it makes any difference?
Yes and no. It might be easier in the sense that you don't have to worry about infecting them, but on the same level, it's like I still don't know if they have a lot of research on if you have different strands and giving each other different strands and
yeah,
stuff
I think
like that.
They recommend that you still use protection.
Right. So on the same hand, it's different, but it's not that different really. As far as having kids, I think dating someone who, or marrying someone who is HIV positive also would probably make it harder to have kids. So, you know, there's pros and cons to both. Obviously, I married someone who's negative, so that one just happened to be easier for me.
Shifting gears just a little bit, you know, you've talked a little bit about youth and HIV-positive children. What are your fears and your hopes for people your age as they face the risks of HIV?
I would say I have two major fears for them, and that is that... I think it'll be better for kids now, but, you know, being accepted and just living a normal life and, you know, having a good life and stuff. And also, for people to not be like self-destructive kind of thing. And by that, I mean like just going out and harming themselves or harming others and different things, because I think sometimes along with when certain people get HIV, it's like, and it's out of a risky lifestyle. I think sometimes it even pushes them into a more riskier lifestyle because it's like, oh, well, you know, I have this, so it doesn't matter what I do. So I would say just that my hope was that people would make the right choices towards them to treat them properly, and also for them to make the right choices not to harm themselves anymore or think that they can't have a life.
What advice would you give to another young person who is positive? You just like, you know, met them at church or met them at work or something.
I would just say, you know, that make sure that they go to the doctor when they're supposed to, and if they need to be on medication, that they're faithful with that, and that to keep doing whatever they want to do, and, you know, that if they need help, that they could talk to me or whoever.
What issues do you think people who are diagnosed at birth or as children face that are different from people who are diagnosed as adults?
Well, I think for children, it's really hard to understand. And it's, you're kind of, it doesn't like take away your innocence, but it kind of takes away part of like the child, I think, because you kind of have to grow up pretty fast. You know what I mean? Like, you have to face stuff that is hard for grown-ups to deal with. And for a person, the difference I would think is for a person who finds out when they're older is, unless it's, well, see, I guess it depends how you get it, too, because some people, I think, they kind of know that they're at risk for it, and then they get it, so it's, like, not a huge surprise. It's still pretty horrible, but it's not a huge surprise. I think, while it's not easy for anyone, it's easier for them to understand as an adult. And for as an adult, too, I mean, our kid, you haven't even really lived yet, so it's like pretty traumatizing. As an adult, you've had some of a life, and now you just have to worry, you know, if you're going to make the rest of it type of thing. But when you're a kid, it's like you have to worry if you're going to have much of a life at all.
How do you think your life would have been different if you hadn't gotten HIV?
Well, on a good note, I don't know. I think in some ways, just because of the community I was brought up in, it wouldn't have been good because I wouldn't be as accepting of people, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Not that everyone in the community or the religion that I prefer is horrible or anything, but sometimes I think can tend to be a little less accepting of people, and just, well, things are a certain way, that's how they should be. But I don't know, I think it's, I don't know if I would be as accepting of people as I am if I didn't have it. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't be, I think I would be a little more, on one hand, I think I would be a little less emotionally, what's the word? Disturbed. Not that I'm like mental or anything, but that's the only word I could think of.
No, I wouldn't maybe have like a little fragile or something.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't have emotional problems as much as I do, but I would. But on the same instance, I don't know if I didn't have it, if I would be as strong either. So,
yeah. What, if you don't mind my asking, what emotional problems do you have?
Well, I think I'm pretty stable. If you ask people, they'd be like, "Oh, Sarah's good, she's fine." But I think for most of my life, I've been, like, emotionally numb and not dealt with things. So now, that's just how I dealt with things, and that's how I got through my life. And now it's harder for me to just get through things. Like, it's all kind of coming out now, the way I felt or the way I feel about things. So I'm a little more emotional, and by that I mean, like, you know, maybe I just show my emotions more now, like I get upset or whatever.
Do you think getting older and moving out on your own has given you the opportunity to kind of reprocess some of these things that happened to you when you were a child?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can have a certain view of things, but then, you know, when you get out on your own and you really think about things, or you kind of just understand things a little bit differently then.
If you were granted one wish, what would it be?
Hey, that's a hard one.
Mm.
I would say, in this instance, I would say, I guess it's kind of two, but oh well, that, you know, that they would find a cure or a vaccine, and that, you know, so I wouldn't, I mean, the possibilities of my husband getting infected are very low, but just so that that wouldn't even be a possibility. So it would just be really awesome.
That's great. Sarah, is there anything else you want to share with our readers?
I don't want to come off like that everything was really negative, but there were a lot of hardships, and I just want to encourage people to deal with things, but to just keep aspiring to fulfill your dreams, and I think that's about all.
Thanks for listening to This Positive Life. For more podcasts and other first-person stories, please visit us online at thebody.com. If you'd like to share your story, please email us at podcast@thebody.com.